This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. I'll be reading today from a wonderful, relatively new book, Amphibians and Reptiles of Wisconsin, edited by Joshua Kapfer and Donald Brown, and used by permission of the University of Wisconsin Press, copyright 2022 by the Board of Regents of the University of Wisconsin System, all rights reserved, and published by the University of Wisconsin Press in 2022. I'll be reading today from the chapter I've been wanting to read for quite a while, On the Gray Rat Snake, written by
Dr. Richard Sadak. That's spelled S-A-J-D-A-K.
I think you'll be surprised to see what a very small part of Wisconsin they occupy, just the very southwesternmost part of the Driftless area, and their range continues south along the Mississippi River, and then east and south. It's worth looking at this book just to see the range maps. And a bit more about this book, Amphibians and Reptiles of Wisconsin. It's a big book and not one you would want to carry out in the field. It's a comprehensive reference. It covers all of our frogs, toads, salamanders, skinks, lizards, snakes, and turtles. And it's a delight to read. It has a definition section, so you won't be wondering what a word might mean. It has a section on acronyms, so you won't be left wondering about what MCP might mean or YBP. It has, on the last page, a map of Wisconsin counties. It has an extensive introduction discussing the landscape and habitats of Wisconsin and how they have changed over time. And I love the way it's organized. Each species chapter starts with a general overview called At a Glance, which is easy to read and gives a lot of information about that animal. There are distribution maps, sections on description, systematics, distribution and habitat, reproduction and development, activity, prey and predators, and conservation, and lots more. I'll read from the back cover. Amphibians and reptiles represent an essential and interesting component of Wisconsin's wildlife. 18 species of amphibian and 36 species of reptile occupy landscapes across the state. They live in aquatic habitats that range from small streams to large lakes and from open prairies to mature forests on land. These species are vital members of the biological communities in which they occur, acting as important predators, prey, and competitors, while also providing a wide variety of additional ecological functions. However, many amphibian and reptiles have experienced drastic population declines and even local extinctions in Wisconsin due to habitat loss and degradation, overharvesting, the introduction of invasive species, pollution, and other factors. This comprehensive volume by an expert team of editors and contributors consolidates the current state of scientific knowledge, aims to expand public knowledge and appreciation of Wisconsin's natural legacy, and brings out the herpetologist in all of us. This long-awaited state-of-the-field synthesis also includes hundreds of color photographs and illustrations, state-level and North American range maps, dichotomous keys, and research and conservation anecdotes that will entertain and inform even the most dedicated nature lover. Amphibians and Reptiles of Wisconsin is set to become a lasting resource, an armchair companion for anyone in the Midwest interested in the state's natural history and amphibian and reptile fauna. And that's part of the back cover. The author of the chapter about the rat snake is Dr. Richard
Sadak.
He's retired from the Milwaukee County Zoo as the aquarium reptile curator. He earned a bachelor's degree in conservation and a master's degree in zoology from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. His research interests include mud puppy ecology, radiolocation studies of timber rattlesnakes, and ecology of Grenada tree boas. I'll start by reading the section At a Glance, the beginning of the chapter. Gray rat snakes, previously known in Wisconsin as black rat snakes, are one of the largest snake species in the state. The adult dorsal surface is dark gray to black, with a subtle pattern of blotches occasionally visible, and a cream or white chin and belly. Gray rat snakes are found in oak savannas, oak woods, wooded ravines, hollows, and coulees along the Mississippi and lower Wisconsin rivers in southwestern Wisconsin. They emerge from winter dormancy in late April and breed shortly thereafter. Females lay eggs from mid-June to early July, which hatch from late August to early September. In late September, gray rat snakes migrate back to open bluff prairies, where they spend the winter in rock crevices that extend below the frost line. Adults, which are powerful constrictors, feed on rodents, birds, and their eggs. They are strong climbers and are often observed in trees or sometimes in the rafters of buildings. Because gray rat snakes are rather slow-moving, their first response to danger is to freeze and rely on camouflage for protection. When threatened, a gray rat snake will vibrate its tail and raise its head with an open mouth while coiling the forepart of the body. The vibrating tail may cause a buzzing or rattling sound, which, along with the snake's bold defensive display, may cause it to be confused with a rattlesnake. Gray rat snakes are not venomous, but they do not hesitate to bite. Bites are superficial, but often bleed profusely. This species was once commonly called the pilot black snake due to the strange misconception that it led other snake species to communal hibernacula in autumn. In Wisconsin, the gray rat snake is considered a protected wild animal, a species of special concern, and a species of greatest conservation need.
And now reading from the Natural History Box section.
And about this snake, it is subtitled, At Home in a Tree. The pair of gray rat snakes that I radio tracked in 2000 had a particular attachment to one favored tree. I found the male in a large red oak in open prairie habitat on a southwest-facing slope on 16 June, and I located him in the same tree on 12 subsequent observations through 9 August. I occasionally saw him with his head sticking out of a hole about 30 to 35 feet up in a hollow dead stub branch attached to a live branch. On one occasion, I saw him move out to the end of the branch and defecate. I found several old stools beneath the branch indicating that he used the end of the branch as a latrine on at least a few occasions. On 29 June, I found the male gray rat snake lying exposed about 45 feet high on a side branch of the same main branch he favored. In my field notes, I wrote the following entry. The male black rat was still in the same tree, walked up the hill until I was almost level with the branch he was on, and scanned with binoculars. Found him higher up on a side branch of the same main branch he had been on before. He was about 12 feet higher, loosely coiled in shade. While I was taking data and photos, I began to notice a lot of bird calls nearby. 3 or 4 orioles, a male and several females or juveniles, were in a small tree next to the snake's big oak, chattering away. Over a few minutes, one or more would fly into the oak and land high above the snake, and then fly back. Other birds landed in the small tree, including a rose-breasted grosbeak and indigo bunting. I can't make up my mind if they were mobbing the snake or not. They didn't seem focused on the snake at all, never getting closer than 20 feet from him, and spent most of their time in the smaller tree. I checked around and couldn't see anything else that would attract them, so maybe it was the rat snake. He was joined in the tree on 6 July by the female after she had shed her skin and oviposited in a hollow fallen log. At the time she joined the male in the tree, several shed skins were visible on the branches, suggesting that at least one additional gray rat snake had also spent time in the tree. The female had left the tree between 10 and 15 July. She had returned to the male's tree on 18 July, leaving it again by 21 July. On 15 August, the male had left the tree, and I found him moving on the ground in oak opening habitat. Other researchers have noted this tree-loving behavior in other rat snake populations. In Maryland, radio-located eastern or gray rat snakes were found to focus on a single tree, which proved to be a focal point in the home ranges of many different snakes. The snakes retreated to hollow tree branches and used the tree for pre-molt sunning. Researchers also observed, as in the Wisconsin snakes, that the rat snakes defecated in one spot under the tree. Observers also noted courtship in the favored tree.
And that's At a Glance, At Home in a Tree.
There's an interesting part under reproduction and development. The female lays eggs, and it's written here that egg laying in Wisconsin could occur from mid-June to July, but data are sparse. An egg-carrying female gray rat snake, one of the Crawford County pair mentioned previously, moved to a large hollow log on 26 May 2000 and remained in, on, or near that log, shedding between 29 and 30 June. She stayed in or on the log until 6 July, by which time she had laid her eggs. Egg-laying in late July with clutches of 6 to 22 eggs was reported from Ohio. There's one more part of this chapter, one more natural history box. Chance encounters. Gray rat snakes are frequently observed in or around human structures, particularly in rural areas within their range. I have, for example, observed them in the rafters of old sheds on state land and even picnic shelters within state parks. Yet the best stories I have of their tendency to use human structures come from others. For 3 years, I spent my springs and summers working in snake habitat adjacent to the lower Wisconsin River. Although most of my work was conducted on publicly accessible property, it was often necessary to gain permission for access to private land so that I could complete my research. The landowners in this area were incredibly gracious and always granted me access to their property. They also had great stories to impart once they discovered I was working with snakes. Several such stories involve gray rat snake encounters around their houses or outbuildings. Two stories came from the same landowner who lived at the base of a wooded hillside immediately adjacent to a communal snake hibernaculum. He recounted to me one instance when he and his wife were walking around the side of their home on an early summer evening. Both were surprised to find a large gray rat snake hanging off a window shutter on the house, constricting and consuming a recent meal. The snake apparently paid them little mind, and they were able to discern that its prey was a bat of unknown species. The landowner then explained how he had once forgotten to shut his front garage door on a summer evening. The next day, when he finally lowered the door, he was surprised to see a large black snake slither from its resting place atop the descending door, move out over his driveway, and disappear across the adjacent lawn. The last story that I recall came from a farmer whose barn and silo were near fields at the base of a hill supporting a snake hibernaculum. He explained to me that years prior, he was climbing the ladder on the outside wall of the silo and had made it to a considerable height when he received a shock. While reaching for the next rung, he looked up to see a large gray rat snake resting in a coil about where he was going to place his hand. Of course, he was in no danger from the snake, but the encounter unnerved him. I can only imagine he was happy that the shock hadn't caused him to lose his grip. That's another story from this chapter. I just visited the Driftless Center Museum south of Lansing and saw two baby rattlesnakes, and I learned that the babies hatch from eggs inside the female and are born alive. The term is ovoviviparous in the timber rattlesnake. So there's an interesting difference. There's so much to be learned. I hope the little bit I've been able to read to you today piques your interest in this wonderful book. Be sure your library has it, published by the University of Wisconsin Press. The editors are Joshua Kapfer, K-A-P-F-E-R, and Donald Brown, Amphibians and Reptiles of Wisconsin. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thank you for listening.